Okay, in Parshas Kisavo, the first one is Rabbeinu Bechaya that speaks about Vamarta Elov Higarti Ayom Lashem Alekecha Kibas El Aretz. So he speaks a little bit about the Lashon of the word Haggadah, which is very, very interesting. V'tochen she Lashon Higarti Me'inyan Hamshacha. It's very possible, he says, that the Lashon of Haggadah comes from the word Hamshacha. Miloshnu fi yagit losecha, ki hamispalol mamshich hakoach, uksiv kehut losecha bolakecha. So the Rabbi Abachaya says the word Haggadah, it's very interesting. There are Loshen Kodesh, we've said a few times, it tends to be poor in synonyms as opposed to other languages, but there's some words that have many, many synonyms. And speech is one of them. There's Amira, there's Kriya, there's Dibur. One of the kinnis on Tisha B'Av, every single phrase that goes by Aleph Beis is a different form of Dibur. Haggadah is a form of Dibur. It's very important to us in Pesach, Vigarata Levincha, and it's important to understand what the word Haggadah comes from. The word Haggadah literally, the word Haggadah used most pronouncedly for testimony of Edom. And Haggadah would be a testimony. But in English, the testimony is simply when you testify about something, it means you're bearing witness. You're telling over something very, very seriously, and it's going to be used for something, but it doesn't have the implication that Haggadah has. Haggadah means something which is mamshich, it's nimshach. The word in Aramaic, negidna, is for something which is nimshach. Like a nar, that's nimshach. When a person testifies, what he's doing is he's extending the event further down. So that the event was happening to Mitzrayim, but that was it. It stops at that point. When you are being magged on something, so since it's, the Maral explains that Haggadah's Eidus recreates the event itself. the event comes alive again, so you're being mamshichit. So when a person is mekayim v'igadeta levincha, what he's doing is extending the event that were into the present. There are forms of grammar when something, an act that was, and it keeps on. It's nimshach, has its own form of grammar in Lashon Kodesh and other languages. The word gimel dalet also mashal. So Haggadah's Eidus, if you take open the Rambam, where he speaks about the different elements of Torah Sheval Peh in Hilchos Mamrim, he says there are three inyanim of Torah Sheva Peh. There's the remembering of what was told by Moshe Rabbeinu, getting it, verifying exactly what was said. The second one is extrapolating through Yigivah Midas, and the third one is Xeris and so on. The Rambam is medayik in the pasuk, and the Kol Asher Yigidu Lecha goes on this element of reconstructing the Torah Shalapet that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Haggadah is a term that means that. The word Gimel Dalet Gidin is, in the human body, refers to connective tissue. So you have Gidin is sinews, long nerves, anything that's sort of connective tissue. The word Gid, Lashon Kodesh, meaning the Eva of the Zohar, also it's something that connects. That's the music of the word Haggadah. V'habo el ha'aretz ha'kdoishu mamshich ha'koach she'kenegda. Ein tzorach lo ma'koin adeh korban she'makiv sham, v'achizke sham la'ashem le'kecha k'meneg Mishnah Torah. So, higadati hayom la'ashem le'kecha. The Rabbi Bechaya explains, and this is a concept frequent in Sfarim, that avodah of a person, it's as if the divine Hashgacha, Hashroas Hashchina is in a reservoir. We don't create things, but we extend things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is either in a mode where it's locked into itself, the Shechina, and it's not reaching out, not radiating out, it's not, or we allow it to reach out. Hashgacha is reaching out. Haggadah is where we allow it to go out, and that's why when we're doing avodah or anything like that, Haggadah is an appropriate lashon. Next is a Rabbeinu Bechaya explaining the whole concept of havos, of the amira of the shas havos bikurim, and the fact that we are recreating and reconstructing that which was. So he says, "Vakavana b'melitzas m'sani mila paria." Vakavana b'melitzas ha'pasha zos sheyischayev ha'adam losis alibo bizman maloso v'shalvoso bizman hayirido ashishu shahayalei. A person needs to recall when things are good, things that were bad. V'chein am ha'kohelas b'yom tova hayye b'tov u'b'yom ra re'ei bi'uro. He says, so he's teaching the person ha'kohelas, on a day that's good, enjoy the good, but look at the day that was bad. Bi'uro b'yom tov re'ei b'yom ra v'zeh k'dei she'izbonin b'yisron she'yesh lo v'z yod al zeh l'ashem yisal ha'tov re'ei lo. So Ibn Bechaya explained, and this is really in a certain sense one of the reasons why people don't have a Karas HaTov, because we tend to live with the moment. In other words, our mind grasps things not in four dimensions. Things are as they are, and then there's a memory bank that you know there were other things. And so, yes, a year ago I had it very good, now things are terrible. In last week's parasha, the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim that losasayev adomi in Mitzri, that a person is in a habit that when somebody, you've had a good relationship with somebody, somebody does you good, and then he does you bad, it's completely gone. The good is completely gone, because our mind is programmed to accentuate the present and sort of to file away and to archive away the past. That's the way it works. So we don't tend to look at the past and present together. We dwell in the present in both directions. And the past is like, it says in Chumash by the Rav, by Yosef, that they didn't remember the days of good when the Rav came. So that's one direction. The second direction is when people have it good, and that's why people are stunned a lot of times. Some of the meanest people in the world are the people, a person who was poor and became wealthy, you would expect to be a big Baal Tzedakah because he remembered what it was like to be poor and so on and so forth. Sometimes it's stunning about how not responsive the Alfred Stucker. And there are many reasons for it, there are psychological reasons for it, but one of the reasons is a person doesn't see his wealth in the background of his poverty. Here I was a guy just collecting and so on and so forth and doing nothing, and all of a sudden fortune, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shined fortune on me and things are great. He says, yeah, you know, things are great, and yeah, I remember once I was poor, it was no fault of mine, that was it. It's sort of the Torah tells you when you come to Bikurim, you have to see yourself as somebody, as a slave gone out of Mitzrayim, who's now bringing Bikurim. That will trigger the real Hakaras HaTov that you are Kadosh Baruch Hu. The next piece is a Sfarnu. And he deals with, he speaks about the din of vidui maisis. Vidui maisis is a very strange type of vidui. I mean, in effect, it's not a real vidui, because basically you're saying what you did good. You say, listen, I gave the maisis like you said, I gave it to the Levin, to the Get HaAlmana, didn't forget, didn't do anything wrong with it, everything's good. why is it called Vidui? So the Sforno says, very interesting point. B'chateinu v'avenas v'seinu husra avoydem ha-bechoyres ashrem v'yiroa trumus v'maisis k'omro v'yitame oisem matnoisem v'have kol peterechem v'zeu vidu maisis shaskir razal. So he says here, and this is an amazing point. I mean, the avoda was for the bechoyres at a very, very short kufa in the life of Kal Yisrael. It was, I would say, from Yitzias Mitzrayim. Beforehand also, Avodah was associated with Bechora, with the Yaakov, but let's just say it practically, it was from Yitzias Mitzrayim until Chetei Egel. Not a lot of time. And since that time, for 3,000 some odd years, we've been doing Avodah Kal Nevi'im. But every time a person comes and goes to a Kohen or to a Levi, a person needs to remember, this is not the way it should have been. It should have been different. It almost, this Sforno almost rings true with the previous Sforno, with the Rabbein Abachaya, about never forgetting what was. So every time we give a Kohen or Levi to Rutsumaisers, we give a Krecht and we say, this is not what should have been. And he explains the next pasuk, the next Hemshir. Yes, sorry?
Rebbe, wouldn't we also want to look at it, though, as a mila for the B'nai Levi? In other words, they got it not for no, they didn't get it for nothing, so to speak.
You know, but it's like Zivuk Sheni. Yes, there's a reason why you married her, but you messed up the first one, you know. And he says, V'gamasat of the Levi, tam gam kitam afalpi. The word gam here means despite the fact. He's saying like this. It's my aveiros that are goyrim to this, that I have to give it out. I did do a mitzvah, that's what he told him to do. He's saying, what I'm doing now is second best. It's not the way it should have been. Our Averis caused this to happen, and therefore we're doing it this way, and despite the fact that it's in accordance with what your wishes, I know it's not what should have been, and therefore I'm being misfouled, and I should go back. It's one, oh sorry?
But isn't it that only the chet of the Bechoros of that time that really caused it? I mean, yes, there was chet Egel by Kai, so, but it was the fact that the Bechoros didn't sort of stand up to that.
True, but it was a conspiracy between us and them. They didn't provide the leadership they should have, and we provided Averis we shouldn't have. So together, it's one of those things which is, you know, when you think about it, especially around like Tisha B'Av time and so on, we're very, very proud of ourselves. Marshall comes Sukkot, so in the Mitzvah Hashem, comes Pesach, comes Shavuos, we're full of mitzvahs, and we bake matzahs, and we eat durim, and we did everything the way you said, and so on and so forth. We're very, very kind of proud of ourselves and good with ourselves. But, hey, that's not at all. That's not Sukkot. Sukkot means wrapping up your bags, taking karbanis, going down to Beis HaMikdash, and visiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and bringing karbanis. You know, the Sukkot is ancillary to it. The little Nesek is ancillary to it. It comes Pesach. It's all about going down, bringing Karban Pesach, eating the Pesach, yeah, you gotta eat the Pesach with something, eat it with matzah mara, and so on. We have a very, very emasculated version of Yiddishkeit. We're just so used to living with it that we don't recognize what was, and yes, we should be happy with what we have, we should always bear in mind it's not really what it ought to be. So when a person brings mice and so on and so forth, and for us it's not, yeah, you know, we think of ourselves as being extremely fulfilled Jews. I always think that when the Beis HaMikdash comes, we're going to be like Bala Tshuva. So we're going to come into a religion that's very, very unique. I mean, we're going to be preoccupied with Tumas and Tyrus all day long, and we're going to be preoccupied with Kachim, and that Kachim and Tyrus are going to be our main you know, like Aruch Hayim, it's going to be relevant every minute, every second, and we don't have it. So Devido Maisis includes the statement of saying, I've done my best, but I know that things should have been different and could have been different. The next piece is also it's Rabbeinu Bechaya reconfirming this point, and except broadening it, and I'd like to learn that also. It's going on the pasuk says, "Ayoyim azeh Hashem akecha mitzapha lasa chukim eile." HaKadosh Baruch Hu is today telling you to do these chukim. So the obvious question, what do you mean today? I mean, Moshe is basically standing at the end of 40 years, and at 40th year, and they got the Torah 40 years ago. So Chazal darshin, "Yu chavivin alecha kula yoyim azeh kibaltim Sinai." It should be chaviv as if you got it today from Sinai. So he said, so Rabbi Bechaya says something very, very, it goes to the heart of this point of how people perceive things. Bein b'loshen chavivin, bein b'loshen chadoshim, hutzuchu l'dushkein. Lefi, shadoros cholfin, the generations go by. V'leiv ha'odom holech ha'cha'ena b'davanira. A person's heart is taken by his eyes, that which he sees in front of him. Ki be'omdo ben enov yiskireno. When things stand in front of your eyes, you take note of it. Remember it, literally. U'be'isasar me'enov. And when things go out of line of sight, yishkechani, you forget it. Va'osos va'mofsim enomdim lo'olam. And the signs are not, don't stand forever. Le'kach yazhiru shetea muna kvua b'leiv omeres la'ad v'zvan ha'hestek v'shas v'an ha'kolos. And that's why the Torah warns you that their muna has to be there always, both when it's overt and when it's covered. V'yidivei ha'Torah chaviv me'etzen shenav aleim, the Torah should be chaviv, not to be over. V'yu gamkin chadoshim, they should always be new, v'inyan zichron ha'osos ha'mosim, as far as the osos ha'mosim, shal nishkechem lebeinu b'shalmim einenu. Ach yeh etzleinu maimed ha'sinayim refleishu v'chidush etamim. So, Rabbi Chaya is telling us a yesod in almost the entire realm of Torah. Let's flesh it out a bit. We all are aware of institutions and organizations and foundations and so on. Let's say somebody endows an organization $10 million. So they make a big hoo-ha and they honor and they dedicate and they cut ribbons and so on and so forth. You know, it's really, really big to do. 5 years later, someone else, things are kind of dry, and somebody comes up with a $100,000 donation. They make a big to-do about him. This guy who gave $10 million, don't give him an honorable seat next to him, but the person is preoccupied with the guy who gave the $100,000 now. It doesn't say, well, this guy gave $10 million, this guy $100,000, so if they would be sitting together, if they both give donations together, yes, the $10 million guy would get the huge hoopla, and the other one would get a little one. But when they're not together, when one is 5 years past and one is now, then that is one of the types of shkarim that this world presents, because our mind doesn't look at things with a bird's eye view. It's always sliced into its particular time. We see things that are in front of us, and we remember things that were, and it's very hard for us to bring them onto the same plane. And they're two different worlds. What we see in front of us and what we have in our memory bank are different. Part of Torah, a very central part of Torah, is, for instance, let's give an example. A person's parents bring him into this world. That means his existence is owed to his parents. Had his parents not chosen to bring him to this world, he is not. Now, a person grows up, and thousands of people interact with him. Teachers and benefactors and friends and enemies and everything else. A person, if you ask a person, who do you owe more of Hakaras HaTov, your friend or your parents? Everybody says, oh, of course my parents. But instinctively, and in terms of our gut reaction, we choose our friends over our parents. Of course, it's a teva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to move on, and not to be stuck at our parents' side. But so one thing that a person does not need to hang around his parents, he doesn't need to make friends, get married, move out, and so on and so forth. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes up, his parents want him to take him out because they're lonely, or his friend is, he has a chance to have a great time with his friend. We will we'll wrestle because we don't see our parents in front of us as all the time. We scratch our heads and say, yeah, 40 years ago, if my parents wouldn't have had me, where would I be? I would have nothing. So I really owe it to them. That is Mosh Kibbut Av. The same thing with Osos Mosim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is something that was, it should not be, it's not, in the question, why does God make Mosim every minute and so on and so forth, one of the answers is, the purpose of Avodas Hashem is that a person gain, that a person grow. A child sees things as they are. If the candy looks good, the fact that he's going to have a bellyache tomorrow doesn't mean anything. If right now his other friend is offering a better candy than his first friend, loyalty goes out the window. That's a very low perception of a person. It's a perception of a Baal Chai, that the here and the now commands my entire field of relations, and what was is a very dim light. Torah says, rise above Zman. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out Kosem and Zman with Osos and Mosim, and we relive it every year, it is the event that's in front of our eyes. It's to the core of what the Torah is teaching us. I once heard a story. I heard it on a disc, on a cassette, and I actually knew the person they were talking about, so it was kind of very, very interesting. And it went like this. There was, in a hospital in Massachusetts, I think, there was a frum resident sitting in the cafeteria and eating something. And next to him, a lady, there was a couple there that were visiting somebody. The lady got up and collapsed. She had some cardiac arrest. This resident that sort of jumped up, revived her, and they got her up into a room, obviously, and so on and so forth, and she lived. She was a quite young woman also, and had he not been as quick as he was, she would have died. He really was the one who saved her. I don't remember what the condition was, it makes no difference. He wasn't sure if he should visit her. I mean, he wasn't on duty or anything, it would just have to be, you know, he was there. But he decided, two or three days later, when he was doing the rounds, he would drop by, even though it wasn't his ward. He introduced himself, her husband was there, and they were both, extremely effusive in their thanks. But the husband said, I want to tell you something. Right now, we're extremely, extremely grateful. And we don't begin to have words to express our gratitude. But that's not the right way to look at it. He said, every time my wife is going to cook a meal that I like, I'm going to say, if not for Dr. So-and-so, I wouldn't be here. Every time I sit with my wife and we talk and we have a good time together and we enjoy each other, I'm going to say, if not for Dr., we wouldn't have this. Every time and every place that anything good happens between us, I'm going to recall it, which is really the emes. This doctor, who I know, he learned Neshet Torah, actually, a very, very special person, said, he walked out and he said, hey, and what about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, yes, if someone asked me, I could certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us and both things exist and so on and so forth, but why don't we have that same ongoing feeling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he's saying over here, Hayom HaZeh Min Hashem Kertzav La'Soyscha. It's really the heart of Avodas Hashem is, it's the emes. The guy who gave it $10 million, and it actually happens to be one of the points of frustration, psychological frustration in institutions. Institutions are always need money, desperate for money, whatever you want it, and they're always looking for ways to raise money. The person who gave a lot to an institution expects gratitude and gets it. But so you have a situation where a person decides in one shot to give an institution millions of dollars. And I mean, quote-unquote, savvier people tend to give things on an ongoing basis. And one of the reasons is they don't want to have that feeling of being dropped. Once I've been milked for what I'm worth, they'll be grateful, but every year that gratitude receives, because it's precious. You know, there are pressures every year. Every year, you can't sit down when the budget has a hole of $500,000 and say, well, but last 10 years I met the budget. It doesn't help you. So the bank doesn't buy that. So you are under pressure, and you live with it today. And the gratitude for yesterday doesn't really go. It's an issue, because the people who want the gratitude expect the Hayom Hazeh. They expect it to be always there. The person who's giving, the nature is to push it back and back and back. So the pasuk tells you that Torah, all the things that happen, all those events, you need to keep alive. We need to get above the time element and see it in the present, which it really is. Let's see another piece. It says over here, you shall write the entire Torah when you pass by, when you pass over the Yarden, because it's now over here. You have a machlokas, and the question is, like always, not what could have been done, but what was done. A person is learning, did they write the entire Torah on a stone or not? So Ramban brings a machlokas, and it's a machlokas, two dayas, and Ramban has three different explanations. Because after it was called the Torah, says Amar Reb Avraham b'shem Agoyin, so Reb Sadi Goyin, shekosv aleim minyan amitzvus. When it says they wrote out the entire Torah on stones, we don't have a record of huge stones, and it means to write out the minyan amitzvus. K'mak suvis balachas gedolos ke'enas haros. They have in Sefer Halachos Gedolos, and they have the Sfaradim have what they say on Shavuos called Azharot, Piyutim, which are all of Taryag Mitzvahs kind of in a poem form. Reb Sadia Goyen has one. It's a poem where every two words represent another mitzvah, so it's a sort of shorthand. But since this is, and again, the reason for this is not because we don't believe there could be a nace or whatever it is. It's simply what's the mashmah of the pasuk. We don't find any big hullabaloo or anything else. So he's saying, write down the index of the Torah, so to speak, the mitzvah, that's ours. V'tam ber heitev haksiva means to write it out nicely. Rabbi Seinu Amru Chazal Sev Shim Loshon. Matsinu B'sefer Taji, which are the Targums from the Shehoya Kol HaTorah K'suva Behen Mibreishit La'ena Kol Yisrael B'Tageho V'Ziyuneho U'Mishom Netkoa Targum Kol HaTorah. The Tag, there are Sfarim of that have the all of the Tagin and so on that are supposed to be in the Torah, and you had the entire Torah written out with the Masoros of the Tagim, the Ziyunim, all the different decorations, and so on and so forth. So now, how does one have that? So Ramban has two ways. V'itochos she'avonim gdolos mod, it could be these were giant stones, oy she'em emayis anisim, or it could be it was a nes. In other words, either one is trapped. So we have two pshatim subdivided into two about what exactly happened. You have one shot that it was only the shortcut, it was the Azharis and so on, it was the main point of every mitzvah, so that we always can refer back to it. And there's a logic to it, because there's no reason to write out the entire Torah. You had it written out on parchment and so on, but you wanted just a monument to remind people of the Torah, so that's good enough to have Azharis. Makes sense. We find another pshat that the entire Torah was written out, and I would assume that the Tagir of Ziyunel is sort of to preserve the Masoros. You had it literally cut in stone, etched in stone, so that you knew all the Tagim in the Torah. And then, how that worked, well, maybe it was physically possible, you had this huge Sefer Torah, this huge rock, or maybe it was a nes. But all of them, none of them come from the fact that it's you know, is in any way a, it's not impossibility, it's pshat, from the context of the pasuk. On the one hand, it just says it was sometimes called divrei Torah zos. On the other hand, there's no big deal made about it, and you've seen this rock, and how could it possibly be, and all this and that. It seems to be like just a very normal, natural thing, and in context of the pasuk, you have the machlokas, had a lot of pshat over here. Okay, one there.